Please join us in the reading from the scripture this morning, the first of which is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. The second scripture reading is from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what should I approach the Lord and bow down before God on high? Should I come before him with entirely burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with many torrents of oil? Should I give my oldest child for my crime, the fruit of my body for the sin of my spirit? He has told you, human one, who is good and what the Lord requires from you, to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God.
So this morning we continue our series on spiritual affective disorder, giving attention to how we might move out of our funks about our life and about our country and move into the life-giving presence of God. Anybody here this morning in a bit of a funk? We all know that it seems like every day our country becomes more divided. Leadership and policy changes in our state and in our nation bring us anxiety and worry and anger, frustration and disappointment. I like today's focus of how we might deal with all of that, because I believe in all my heart with the quote we included on our bulletin cover this morning from Gandhi, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. But don't take my word for it. Let's base it on the sacred stories that we claim to hold dear. In the first reading that Stephanie shared with us, Jesus has moved from his baptism and immediate wilderness experience, which was none too fun, to calling his first disciples and then instructing them on how he expected them to act. Now, we gloss over these teachings sometimes, friends, because we've heard the stories. But I want to invite us this morning to place ourselves slap in the middle of the story. So first, just imagine you're doing your own thing, living your life. This strange guy approaches you and says something like, hey, I know you're pretty busy with your life, but come with me and I'll make you fish for people. Now, come on now. You know what we do. We'd either escape from the nearest route or we'd get our cell phones out and call 911. The early disciples, well, they put their fishing poles down. They abandoned their boats and left their hammers and tools unattended, and they left everything. Their families, their careers, their friends. Would we do that? Imagine you follow this strange dude and he begins instructing you on how things are going to roll. First, he gives a speech on a mountain. We know it as the Beatitudes, and it reverses everything of what the world thought. I just bet there were a few folks second-guessing their decision to follow this strange acting and talking guy. Have you ever second-guessed your decision to follow in the example of Jesus? Then after telling them that to reverse the values and the priorities of the political and religious authorities of the day, which had to shake them up a bit, Note that Jesus then pins the responsibility of the world on them. What, it wasn't enough just to leave our comfort zones and follow you? For us, we might ask, it's not enough to commit to come to church pretty regularly? Listen again from Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled upon. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Yep. It's on God's followers. It's on us. I say it often that we're all God has to make a difference. And this scripture supports it, doesn't it? You, me, we are the salt of the earth. The godly flavor interceding amidst injustice and oppression and discrimination and rejection and isolation. We are the salt, my friends. We are the light of the world, brothers and sisters. And we are told, not ask, to let our light shine before others. Not just so folks will see our good example, but most importantly, so that our lives give glory to God. We are God's hands and feet in the world. We are the salt and the light. Or are we? The second scripture Stephanie read is my favorite scripture of all. Of all scripture. It's my favorite. I have it embroidered on my stole that a friend made for me. But more importantly, I try to keep it in my heart and in my head as I travel this journey called life, as I seek to follow God's lead for my life and my ministry. At its heart, Micah has the simple truth. And I was especially grateful for this scripture when I argued, when I defended my senior thesis in seminary. You see, while I appreciate how traditions of the church have been instrumental in forming spiritual disciplines and drawing folks to faith communities, I am also very, very suspect of all these rules, most of which were made centuries ago by men of power and privilege, sometimes in cahoots, as the priests would get in bed, figuratively at least, with the kings. And they would design things in a way to keep the common folks in their place. Anybody seeing familiarities this morning? So I respectfully resist all these rules that decides who's in and who's out. And when I place church tradition at the bottom of my priorities as I prepared to leave seminary, I was challenged to defend why I thought experience and reason and scripture trumped tradition. John Wesley, the leader of the Methodist movement, came up with this quadrilateral ranking on the basis of one's theology and beliefs. And so, before they'll let you out of seminary, no matter your grades, no matter how many credit hours you have, before you get out of there, you have to rank these four things and then defend it before three of your professors. That was fun. At any rate, I ranked experience first. Because as someone who had been rejected from church and then experienced God's grace and love and call for my life, well, that trumped everything. And I ranked tradition last. And when pressed, because I knew it was coming, I told him, I said, I want to read you a letter from a friend of mine. His name is Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? See, Micah was in the Old Testament talking to the Hebrew folks, and they did all sacrifices on all the rules, and everybody did everything the right way, and if you didn't, well, you didn't get to come to the temple. So Micah's saying, okay, we're doing all this, God. Check, 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 check. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. I tell folk all the time, Scripture's great. I read it. I rely on it. People use it to argue, and people use it to beat others down, and people use it to decide who's right and who's wrong. There's two scriptures, I think, that boils it all down. That's one. And the other one is, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and love others as you love yourself. My, oh my, wouldn't the world be different if we loved God, loved each other, and loved ourselves? If we did justice, if we loved kindness, and we walked humbly. It seems to me that God doesn't care about all those church rules. God cares about three things. Are we kind? Do we stand up and work for justice? And are we humble? It's a simple truth. It's hard sometimes. Micah was speaking to a fractured, divided community. With infighting about who was right and who was wrong. About how the church should function or not. About how political powers were going to behave. Like we feel today, it was sort of a hot mess all around. So God gave instruction on how to deal with this. Do justice. Love kindness. Be humble. I think it was old Mac Davis that said, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." I used to sing that with my guitar. Today, my friends, we're called to these ideals in this crazy, overwhelming world. We're called to live out these simple but profound truths. We are the salt. We are the light. Called to kindness and justice and humbleness. And every single one of us here can contribute to that. We have a place. And this morning, we're going to recognize some of us in our faith community who have placed themselves on the front rows of the mountain. They've agreed to be inconvenienced. They've agreed to be open to new interpretations and possibilities. They've agreed to serve and to be accountable for our church's leadership. They have agreed, and perhaps we will too, in the words of our former President Barack Obama, to show up. Dive in. Stay at it. That's my new mantra. Every day. So as we recognize these folks in the church, I'm not letting everybody else off the hook. But in any church, there's so much more that meets the eye relative to what it takes to keep a church functioning. To ensure that the church is not so focused on its own sustenance that it becomes blind to its core mission of creating change and spreading love in our community. Oh, the world can be so overwhelming with its needs, and the danger for the church, for any church, for our church, is to allow all this noise and distractions to drown out God's still speaking voice, which calls us to nurture our community of faith, to be grounded in love and mutual respect for one another, so that we can lift off into God's possibilities for us as individuals and as a church.